Blog Talk Radio.
February 17th, the stage will be set for racing's greatest day, the Daytona 500. A day that delivers four-wide excitement, legendary moments, and unforgettable finishes. A day that keeps you on the edge of your seat and that you'll remember forever. The greatest race awaits. Experience the thrill of the Daytona 500 in person. Guarantee your seats before they sell out at Daytona500.com.
From the South Georgia Plains to the North Georgia Mountains, once a year, the young and the old descend on our NASCAR race weekend at Atlanta Motor Speedway, building new traditions and rekindling old ones. As a new season springs to life, racing runs deep into the heart of Georgia. February 23rd and 24th, it's Saturday's Renai 250 and Atlanta 200 doubleheader, and Sunday's thrilling Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500. Sunday tickets start at $49, and kids' tickets are just $10 at AtlantaMotorSpeedway.com.
Good evening from Vega Nation. I'm Timmy Spain alongside SpeedwayDigest.com's Mr. Stephen Wilson. You're in the pit stop with Timmy Spain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. Stephen, we're back. 2019. The off season didn't last long enough, did it, brother?
No, it didn't last long enough for anybody, I think. Got a little bit of time, but not a whole lot.
That's right. And I want to let everybody know the number to call in is 215-383-3681. Our guest coming up here shortly at 20 after the hour. We got my good friend Brent Holmes. He's going back full-time racing in the ARCA Racing Series. This time he only raced a limited schedule last year, but we got him coming on. Want to hear a lot about what he has talked about the two-day test at Daytona and what his expectations is running this full season here in 2019, Stephen. But if I can, I want to throw a big shout-out to Spencer Boyd and Joshua Altus. They joined the Speedway Digest Radio Network this year. They're doing a live show on Monday evenings called The Eagle Nest with Spencer Boyd. Y'all check that out. Of course, we've got Adam Jason Sinclair, Thursday Night Thunder. He's back. I think he's already done a show, Stephen. I can't remember, but we got him back also. And we got a couple more irons in the fire, so we're looking to a great 2019 season, Stephen. And with that being said, you know, we dodged Snowmageddon again here in Dega. They put us under a winter storm warning yesterday evening, about right before we got off work, and we got emergency plans ready. Everybody drove their trucks home and get up this morning hoping we didn't have to go to work at Coos Valley Edge, but got this morning with a number of rain, brother.
Well, we're supposed to get some of it starting later on tonight. We got that polar vortex that's going to come this way. We've got some rain right now, which will eventually, the temps are going to drop about 35, 30 degrees or something like that over the next couple of hours. And we'll eventually be, ice and icy conditions here with sleet and all kinds of nastiness that will come along with that. So we're just right outside of that main polar vortex being here on the coast and not too far away from the Chesapeake Bay and other bodies of water that kind of knock some of this stuff a little bit farther to the west of us, but it's still going to get a little cold. We're still going to get some ice, and we'll have to see how it all shakes out here, but otherwise we look like we're probably going to make out pretty good here.
Sounds good, brother. And while we got a few minutes, I know, you know, like I mentioned, we got Brett Holmes coming on that, and you and I, we also want to talk about the rule in the sanctioned bodies NASCAR rule book. I want to talk about that after Brett comes on. But 12.9, the NASCAR sports gambling policy, we got the bulletin yesterday from the sanctioned body at their rule book. We want to talk a little bit about that. But Stephen, while we got a few minutes, I want to thank you for hosting my website. You do a great job, and let everybody know about your website and how long you've been covering the sport, and just sort of give everybody a little quick detail where they can find you at and follow all of your good writing here on seaweed.io.
This will be my ninth year covering NASCAR racing for SpeedwayDigest.com, which I started in 2010. You can follow pretty much everything there on our Twitter account, Speedway Digest, or Facebook.com/SpeedwayDigest, although I don't use the Facebook as much anymore. They get a little antsy about posting articles, and especially independent media, they don't have the say to go to Facebook and not get banned every other week. So, you know, we've kind of stayed and shied away a little bit from Facebook, although we do post some things out there that get pushed out, but for the most part. Well, follow us on Twitter at Speedway Digest, SpeedwayDigest.com, and like I said, this is our ninth full season covering NASCAR racing, so a lot of good things coming up. Brett Winningham is back with us this year. We've got Adam Coons, Matthew Jackson, a couple guys that are that have been with us a year or so, and we're looking forward to expanding that out possibly to some more writers that are going to cover events for us all over. We'll have Todd Marquise covering the Mountain Bay and the Indy 500 and all the things going on there, as well as the Brickyard 400 in September. So we've got a lot of things going on this year, some staying the same as last year, and some things have changed as far as adding on to the staff, and I think it'll be a good year overall.
That sounds good, Stephen. And to let everybody know, too, some of the other social media platforms like Tumblr, LinkedIn, and Google Plus, you also post to them, too, don't you?
Yeah, we post to Tumblr, LinkedIn, and my personal page on LinkedIn. Tumblr, we have a Tumblr account out there, although Google Plus, we still post there, but at some point this year, Google is going to do away with their social media network. So that'll eventually be decommissioned at some point. We'll no longer be posting out to Google Plus, but for now it's still being posted out there until Google flips the switch on that and turns it all off. So It's not as popular. A lot of people used to be on it at one point, but as the popularity has faded and Google's stuck with Facebook and Twitter, that as well as Google last year had some security issues with their Google Plus, which exposed a lot of people, which kind of came into their decision to shut it all down. But that was a little side notes to that. But we'll continue posting to all these places until Google shuts us down, and we'll keep at it on Twitter and Facebook and Tumblr, LinkedIn, etc. So you can follow us on all those sites. Look for me. Look for us on there. As well as Brett Winningham, Adam Coons, Matthew Jackson, and others, they all post on their own, either in blogs or social media accounts, and there's too many of them, honestly, to name.
That's right. And listen, follow Stephen Woodson at SpeedwayDigest.com and all of his writers. They really cover the sport really, really well. But Stephen, we had some breaking news come out this morning. I'm supposed to play that button you really don't like. You say it sounds like that old CBS 70s breaking news. But anyway, Stephen, we had some breaking news come out of Fox Sports this morning. Ricky Craven, he's moving over there. Also, we had some news come out the other day. Our good friend Bob Pockers, which left ESPN, he's going to be with Fox Sports too. So it looks like Fox Sports and NBC Sports, they're really loading up on a lot of these veteran analysts and writers, Stephen. And I don't know what's going on with ESPN, but didn't they also cancel that Jaysky site for ESPN also?
Yeah, ESPN shut Jaysky down yesterday. They've been on the site for a number of years. And over the last 6-8 weeks or so, ESPN has also let Bob Pockers know, who's now going to go over to Fox Sports. He's going to do some similar stuff like we see Nate Ryan. We may not see as many articles out of Bob Pockers as we have in the past, but he's going to be both a on-screen talent and social, and he's going to be putting some pieces together. So, he's going to move into a position where he'll be more like Nate Ryan is at NBC. And Ricky Craven, they also moved him over. He was let go from ESPN, and he moved over to Fox, too. He'll be on the weekend stuff, so there might be some places for him, especially John Roberts, who over the past year has been less and less involved with Fox Sports and NASCAR racing on race day and some other programming that they have. I can't remember whether he's coming back or not. I think he announced last year that he wouldn't be back, but somebody can correct me if I'm wrong on that. So there's some spots open, but NBC and Fox altogether are consolidating a lot of the media talent between the two TV partners, and ESPN is unfortunately being left out in the cold. They've made their decisions that while they may cover NASCAR in some way, shape, or form, they just won't be covering it on any wide scale that they have in the past, as far as daily or weekly. You still have Ryan McGee and Marty Smith over there, but they've moved over to Mini Stick and Ball Sports, but they'll probably farm them out during things like the Daytona 500 or Coca-Cola 600, maybe Miami, and some of the bigger events throughout the year. But ESPN has over the years they've now. They've moved into college sports, basketball, football, etc. That they're so heavily invested in those areas that the rest of their sports coverage has really been spread fairly thin.
That's right, and that's understandable, Stephen. I mean, you gotta go where your bread and butter is, and Fox Sports and NBC, they've really they've really dipped off into this motorsport side of it, like you and I cover. And to touch on your thoughts there about John Roberts, I know you listen to a lot of Sirius XM NASCAR Channel 9 and radio like I do, and I've been hearing John Roberts on with Chocolate Myers during his show. So it looks like John might be going to go over and do some radio stuff here at Sirius, Steve.
Yeah, I'm honestly not sure, but we did see less and less. We've seen him less and less over the years, where he used to be a pretty prominent face on NASCAR programming for Fox. But again, we've seen less and less, and I think he's into real estate also with his wife. So I don't know if that's somebody can probably correct me, but I'm not I can't remember if he's coming back this year or not. I thought I remember reading somewhere late last year after the season maybe that he would not be returning. So, again, somebody can correct me on that one, but I have forgotten what his plans are for this year.
You've been a busy man, Steven, just like I have. And right here, quick, before we got Brett coming on, I know you're making the trek down to the Daytona 500 this time. Suzanne and I are going to make the trek over to the Folds of Honor Atlanta. So you're going to Daytona. We're going to meet you in Atlanta. And what's your first? I know you and I have talked about future plans after that. I know I'm going to try to attend more races this year than I have in the past. Suzanne might not be able to make it with me, but I'm going to try to attend a good many this time. I got vacation and I keep rolling over. I'm going to try to burn some of that up, Stephen. But what are we looking to see in the Daytona 500 this time, brother? I mean, it's you got new faces in different places. You got Truex Jr. going over to Joe Gibbs. You got Kurt Busch stepping into the one car there at Chip Ganassi, just to mention a couple. What do we need to look for going into Speed Weeks at Daytona National Speedway?
Well, Ford is coming there with a new body this year with the Ford Mustang that they've harvested from the Xfinity Series that they've been running over the last couple of years. So you've got that going. New places and new faces and new places. As you just talked about, Kurt Busch going over to Chip Ganassi Racing. Whether he was just talking about his commitments going forward, and you know he said that you know he doesn't know when his last season is going to be. He's just going to take it one day at a time, pretty much, and see where the chips fall at. But as far as Chip Ganassi is concerned, I think Kurt Busch is a driver that knows an impeccable amount about these cars, setups on these cars, and how to get better. Where Kyle Larson is, he knows a lot about these cars too. I mean, he just didn't jump in and grab the steering wheel either. He knows these cars pretty intricately. But I think if you look at Kurt Busch, that was a good add to their stable, because Chip Ganassi hasn't had the performance level or continuity of performance over the years. And you look at some of the places that he's gone and some of the things that he's done over the years with Phoenix Racing. He was at French Row Racing. And I think some of these places, you know, I think he kickstarted French Row Racing to get to the elite level that we saw them at with Truex. And I think we've seen him add on to what Stuart Haas Racing has done over the last couple of years. I mean, he won the Daytona 500 with them. So, you know, he's been somebody that can still win races, but also improve the performance of a team around him. So I think going over there will be an opportunity again for him to improve some of the performances of Chip Ganassi Racing. And that's almost similar to what Jack Roush did and brought Matt Kenseth in, because he knew enough about these cars and the setups on these cars that to tell them what they were doing wrong, what they were doing right, and how they can make some changes to performance-wise. Truex, I think, over at the 19, I think the 19 team will just continue on. I don't think that you're going to see much difference between what was in the 78 and 19. I mean, it's just going to be a mirror image pretty much with everything in-house at Jugo's Racing and Cole Pearl there. The one thing that I really don't see, unfortunately, going forward is that Daniel Suarez. Daniel Suarez has all the opportunities in the world where his teammates, especially Kyle Busch, was winning events over there. I don't think his performance improved by being at Joe Gibbs Racing. I don't think that he was on the level of some of the other Joe Gibbs Racing drivers. And while he's going over to Stewart Haas Racing, unfortunately, I think what we're going to see out of that is we're going to see, again, we're not going to see the level of performance that those cars can – the level those cars can perform at. I think we'll see him kind of stuck in that third ring, fourth ring of Stewart Haas Racing behind – behind Harvick and Bowyer and Almirola. I think those three will continue to perform well and outperform those cars, but we're not going to see the performance level out of Suarez. I would like to see him get better because I think that he can win races, and he won championships in the Xfinity Series, and he won races there. But coming over to the Monster Energy Series, he just hasn't grasped the performance required to have any kind of continuity. And I think maybe with people like Tony Stewart, Kevin Harvick, Tony Gibson, and some of the others over at Stewart Haas Racing, maybe they can put a program together that will improve the performance of Suarez, and I'd like to see that. But I think it's going to be a building exercise at this point where they're going to have to build that performance up. We're not going to see the performance that Kevin Harvick did when he first came over there. We're not going to see the performance that Eric Almirola obviously outshined those cars last year after his stint in the 43. So, you know, again, it's going to be a building exercise as far as in 2019, probably a little bit of the same we've seen in the past, but maybe some performance improvements as far as that because of the team around him.
That's right, Steven. You know, we could talk about that all night long. But let's go ahead and bring on our guest. We've got driver number 23 Chevrolet in the ARCA Racing Series, driver for Britt Holmes Racing, my good friend, Mr. Britt Holmes. Let's bring him into the pit stop with Tim Spain and Steven Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Get ready to rumble!
Brett, how you doing this evening, brother?
Hey, good. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for taking time out to call in. We really do appreciate it, Brett. I know you had mentioned you're down there. You said you was in the library earlier working. So, are you down on the plains there in Auburn, brother?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was just working on a project I had to do later this week, but I'm good now. I finished a little bit ago, so we're all good, and so no distractions or anything. So
that's okay. But anyway, thanks for taking time to call in, Brett. We really do appreciate it. I want to ask you a couple of questions before I hand you over to the better half of the panel. There's Steve Wilson Speedway Digest. It come out on January the 8th. Y'all had mentioned y'all going to run the full ARCA schedule again this year. Last year you run the part-time deal, and you got a new crew chief in Shane Huffman. You want to talk a little bit about how that deal come down, Brett?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, last year we had the intention to full-time last year. I mean, we never announced that we were, but we had the intentions to, and then I think that before – a week or two before the second race of the season, you know, our crew chief quit and went to a cup, and it was kind of put us in a really bad spot there. And it's so hard to find somebody in the middle or once the season's already started to come, you know, help fill that role. So we just kind of made do and bumped up with our own guys. And, we got to about halfway through the races there and just decided to take a step back. And ever since then, we've just been planning and working in the shop slowly but surely, and to put all of this together. And you know, we've been talking to Shane some, and he's a really great guy. I feel like personality wise, even suits me and my dad a lot. And hard worker too. And you know, with MDM kind of dissolving, I mean, he needed a place to go as well. So you know, I really think he's the key role we've been lacking, and key guy, because you know, I feel like we've lacked, you know, somebody with experience to lead our program. And you know, with me down here in school, it's hard for me to be up there all the time trying to lead the team. But like I said, I really think we got a good shot here this year.
And Brett, talking about the open testing there for the ARCA Racing Series at Daytona back earlier this month. On day one, the morning session, you were P15 with a 176.170. In the afternoon session, you picked it up really, really good with a P8 of 182.8. Can you talk a little bit about that day and what you found in the car that afternoon session?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that morning session, we mainly did single car runs. I mean, we weren't too concerned with putting up a big number, you know, every morning or afternoon. But, you know, we had actually just moved to a new shop in the middle of December, and that test was January 9th and 10th, I think. So we had honestly kind of had to thrash on our car a little bit because we had to move shops, and it took about a week or two. And we got done just a day or two before the test started. So for us to, you know, get ready, like, with the nick of time and to get down there and be as good as we were, I mean, I was really happy with it. I mean, we were, to compare times from last year, we were a whole second quicker than our car from last year. So I think that's just a testament to the changes we've made and how, you know, how good Shane is and how much, you know, the guys that are working on the car, how much effort they put into it. And it's a really proud feeling, to be honest. I mean, I think we ended up eighth overall throughout the whole deal, the whole weekend. We were fourth on the second day, I think. But, you know, a lot of that's to do with, you know, playing games and drafting off other packs and stuff like that. It's, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. But if we compare single car runs, I mean, we were a top five car. I mean, we were right there in the ballpark. And I was super happy with that. And that's what we've liked a lot, is a good single car time in the past. And so I'm pretty excited for it at the speedways too, because I mean, we, you know, the past 2 years we've ran in the top five of these super speedways, even, you know, with, if we didn't have that great of a car in single car run or whatever, but for this year to be for us to be a whole second quicker, you know, I'm just that much more confident that we'll be contending for the win at those tracks.
And Brett, you hit the nail on the head. That day two, the morning, you were P4 with a 181.800, and you skipped the afternoon session. Did you just go ahead and skip it? Y'all go ahead and, you know, get the, you know, what out of Dodge and come on back home?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we were tired or anything, but there's only so many changes you can make at the track at super speedways. So we felt like we had tried everything we wanted to try, and you know, put up a good number that day. So by that time, we just felt like it would just, you know, we, like I said, we had tried everything we wanted to do. So, but we kept notes up and everything, so we know what we're wanting to do at the shop. We do have a two or three changes we want to make to the car back there, and it'll definitely improve it. I mean, from what we saw. So, but there's only so much you can go, you know, far on the car with changes and while you're at those tests. So we left a little early, like a lot of people did, and like I said, we just felt really confident and comfortable with what we had, and you know, we'll go back to the shop and get it better. And like I said, that's a good feeling. You know, I've never left the test early because I've been happy with my car. We've stayed there till the end every time because we were, you know, we felt like we were still struggling or we were behind. But there's been very few times that I felt like we're ahead as a team and ahead performance wise, and this is one of those times. So.
That's right. And Brett, you and I spoke on several occasions here in the garage here at Talladega Super Speedway. And the last couple of years, since you started the school down there at Auburn University, which is, let everybody know, that's God's country. I love that place.
Yeah.
That's right.
Can you
got to take a few days out here. It's Holy Land, you know.
Can you let everybody know that awesome helmet that you have? I took several pictures of it. It looks like an Auburn football helmet. Can you just talk a little bit about that and who designed that for you? That's one of the coolest helmets I've ever seen, Britt.
Yeah, actually, it's a guy named Noah Ennis. Shell Shock is the name of his company. He actually, I forgot what state he's out of, but he actually paints a lot of hockey helmets and racer helmets, mainly hockey helmets. But, you know, he actually, where I got the idea from is he painted Grant Enfinger's helmet as an Alabama helmet, a football helmet. So, you know, I just decided to you know, because me and Grant are good buddies and always mess with each other about that stuff. So I got my helmet painted Auburn, and it turned out really nice. He did a really good job. But I've got a different helmet this year and a new paint scheme for it. But that's always going to be a cool thing to put up one day in like a little hang up on the wall somewhere in a display case. You know, I've always loved that helmet, and a lot of other people have too. So, but yeah, Shell Shock is the name of the company. He has a Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and all that where he posts everything. So, but yeah, he's a good guy.
That's awesome, Brett. And again, I'm going to hand you over to, Stephen Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. Again, thanks for taking time to come on tonight. We really appreciate it. Look forward to having you back on in the near future. And good luck in the 2019 ARCA Racing Series. And I'm pretty sure we'll see you at Dagan. Just to let you know, Stephen Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com, he's a big Florida State fan.
Oh, yeah, no problem, man. Thank you. I really appreciate it. But I don't know what to say about that. I feel sorry for us.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a lot to feel sorry for this year. But last week, ARCA Racing is going to change the way the overtime in the past they've done, unlimited overtime that they've done on Talladega. But this year they're going to go to single green white flag. And you said that this was the right move for them to make, considering what we've seen in the past on these unlimited overtime attempts with these multiple wrecks. Aside from it being the right move, what do you think ARCA should do next as far as changing some of the rules out there or changing something within the series to mitigate some of these multi-car wrecks that have prolonged some of these events at Daytona or Talladega?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't blame the series for making that rule. I mean, it's last year at Daytona was ridiculous, and I was a little part of that, but at the wreck there on the last lap or two, you know, I think we had two or three wrecks there with two or one to go, and it took an hour to make two laps, and that, you know, that's never happened before, but that's also can't happen. And for the fans, for anybody watching, it's just kind of, you know, you can't blame the series for making that rule. So I think that'll help. You know, I think that'll definitely help keep the race shorter and that not happen again. I think a lot of it is just everybody being so aggressive. I mean, the ARCA series is a development series for drivers and that are trying to prove themselves. And, you know, if they think they got a shot to win and if there's a hole, they're going to try to take it. And, you know, a lot of times it doesn't work out, especially on super speedways. So I think that's the other biggest part to it too. And everybody just trying to be a little too aggressive on the last lap or two.
ARCA Racing will eventually be absorbed totally into NASCAR. Do you foresee a future in which something like the K&N series and the ARCA series run a common template between one another to lower cost but allow development between two series that run it, sometimes two totally different style tracks?
Yeah, I mean, they I forgot when they released it, but, you know, they did release that 2020 was when the changes to the schedule were going to be made, and they were going to kind of merge those series. I think not like everybody expected them to. I think people expected for the K&N East and ARCA series to merge, and then there would still be a West series of some sort. But it just, you know, the rule changes they made were kind of surprising, because they haven't released what they're going to do about the motor rule yet. But everybody's going to run the same bodies, the same five-star bodies. But they did release that we have to run a different, like, rear end housing, and it's different for both series, like the one they want us to run. So I don't think that was the right move, and because that's just going to cost teams on both series. You know, I mean, I think if, as long as everybody's on the same playing field, I guess it's okay. But I was kind of surprised as the changes they made to the schedule and some of the rules like that. I think the motor, you know, the motor is going to be the biggest, you know, part of it too, is what they decide to do with what series runs what motors and if they run both. I mean, we've seen in car counts too that, you know, we want to merge both of them. You know, K&N especially has been lacking car count, ARCA not so much, but I think merging both of them would have been a better idea. But, you know, I'm not the one to making that call, but hopefully in the future, you know, or after that first year, they'll realize the changes they need to really make and how they can improve it.
My last question to you is this year, what do you find the most challenging part of going back to a full-time series, a schedule, after running part-time like you did last year?
I mean, I don't think it'll be too bad. I mean, this will be my third year. I mean, I've put in 2.5 years in ARCA, and every track this year I've raced on at least one time, and some of them more than side of ARCA. And late models, I've ran Nashville and Pensacola a bunch, and I think I'll be really good there, even though ARCA hasn't been there in a long time. But you know, I don't think I'm going to struggle too much. I feel like my weakest point has been Pocono and some of the intermediate tracks, and you know, I'm feel like I've pushed my car to the limits there, but we still felt like we lacked elsewhere. So, you know, like I said, this is a series where a lot of guys are just trying to get better as a driver and development wise. And but I think I'll get there easily. I mean, I think Shane's a good enough crew chief, and I've got Derek Nealon spotting for me for some this season, and he's a cup spotter for Kyle Larson. So I think I'll be pretty close to where I need to be at. I was worried about that a little bit. I mean, this has been my longest break from racing, I think ever. When I stopped, I think at the last race in Springfield, but you know, I felt like at Daytona, you know, it didn't, no rest showed. I feel like it was still turned out really well, and we still did well. But I don't know. I don't think I take too long to come up to speed on places I've been in a long time. But like I said, a lot of these tracks are the same ones I've been to. So I take driver notes and we watch videos and all that good stuff. So it's I think I'll be okay. But you know, I'm more ready to get started, honestly. I mean, I think, like I said, we have a good shot at the championship this year, and really have probably the best crew and best team we've had. And me, my dad, and our manager, Nick Montreux, have really put in a lot of work to get this set up the way it needs to be. And it's been an eye-opening experience for sure for us and ARCA. I mean, we've always ran these late model teams, and it's been so much easier, you know, and a lot more laid back, but this is more of on a national level. And it's been an eye-opening experience, and I think it's taken us a couple years to get where we want to be, but I think this year is that year where we're really going to do well.
Brett, I appreciate you taking the time to come on here tonight. Before we let you go, let everybody know where they can find you out on social media, thank your sponsors, and anybody else that are going to help you out throughout the 2019 campaign. And best of luck this year in the ARCA Races Series.
All right, thank you, man. Yeah, you can just you can keep up with us on our website, brettholmes.com, or Brett Holmes Racing, our Facebook page. And I have a Twitter and Instagram. And at Daytona, we'll have Sunbelt Rentals and Marshall Webb Farms on our car, and I'm really thankful for them helping us out at the beginning of the season, and hopefully they can develop into something more later in the season also if we perform well. But yeah, I really appreciate y'all having me on again, and hopefully I'll be back on in February sometime.
Thanks a lot. Take care, Andy.
Thank you.
Brett Holmes there, listen. Young man has come a long way, Stephen. I watched him here at Talladega Short Track. He still holds the single lap record at Talladega Super Speedway. I can't remember what it was. I think I read it off last time we had him on, but he still holds that record, the fastest lap ever turned at Talladega Short Track. I can't remember what it was, but it was getting some yonder. And that's another gentleman too, Brett. Brett's always handled the media really, really well. And you know, you and I, we've spoke about that on different occasions about drivers handling media and how they answer their questions. And I think you and I drilled Brett pretty good, and he didn't miss a beat, brother. He was Johnny on the spot with all the answers.
Yeah, he's really good about, you know, all of these. I think some of these were some tough questions that would it should rattle a few drivers up some, but you know, he took it in stride. He did a pretty good job with it, and I think we got a lot of good answers out of him as far as this 2019 season and what he's going to do this year. So I'm excited for him that he's going to be back in the series, and hopefully we'll see what he does coming up.
That's right. Real good friend of mine, Brett Holmes, there from Mumford, Alabama. The weather crow flies about 12 miles up the road from me, Stephen. But, yeah, and he mentioned he got involved in a crash. And correct me if I'm wrong, Stephen, I think it was a couple of years ago. He ended upside down on the backstretch. And I think he was driver's side door down, because I think you and I were tweeting about it. But that was one of the incidents that he was talking about coming to the when you and him were talking about the new ARCA rule there at Daytona and Talladega. I think he was P2, P3, or P4 right in there, had a chance for the win, and ended up on his lid, driver's door down. Because I remember sitting there watching it and said, okay, the records are there. They're trying to get him tumped over. I don't think they actually – don't remember much, Steve, but I don't think they actually got him out of the car until they got the car back upright, and then they got him out. But it was a long time – sitting there watching that, Stephen. I don't know if do you remember that moment watching it there on, I think FS1 had it.
Yeah, that, he talked about the race last year, and I think there was a lot of that playing into when ARCA went, he's going to go to a new finishing overtime at Talladega and Daytona. And yeah, he was involved into one of those. It took much too long, as he said, to try and run one or two laps. And going forward, I think you know, you're right. I think he's right. I think that they have made the right decision on these overtimes. And there's a lot of aggressiveness. I know there's been a lot of talk in the past about how aggressive some of these drivers are in one of these very short races, like at Daytona, and we just have so much carnage that goes on. Nothing is going to, you know, totally fix the wrecks that we see and the carnage we see at a place like Daytona and Talladega. But moving steps in the right direction to try and mitigate some of those things, I think will be good overall for both the teams and the fans, because, you know, fans don't want to sit out there, like you said, for an hour and watch two laps. So, you know, that kind of, you know, turns some fans away from the sport, and I think they deserve to see a good finish, but they deserve to see it, as ARCA says, as close to the finishing distance as possible. And hopefully, you know, this will balance out both the concerns of fans that want to see something end of the green, but also not have to sit for, you know, like we did last year, for 50 minutes to an hour to run two laps.
That's right. I definitely agree, Steve. And the number to call in is 215-383-3681. I'm Tim Despain alongside SpeedwayDigest.com. Mr. Stephen Wilson, you're in the pit stop. Dennis Blaine, Stephen Wilson with Speedway Digest Radio Network. And Stephen, you and I text earlier today. There's a big topic that I know I really had time to read everything in the sanctioning bodies rule book, Rule 12.9, sports gambling policy. All NASCAR members have an obligation to protect the integrity of the sport. You know where they're going with this. They're going back to that Pete Rose deal. Gambling on NASCAR events by members can pose a serious threat to the integrity of NASCAR, its stakeholders, and the industry as a whole. The integrity of NASCAR competition remains our greatest asset. And, you know, that was just – that's the heading there of 12.9, Stephen, and it goes on through 12.9.1, 2, 3, all the way down to 9. If we can, Stephen, let's talk a little bit about that. I know there's been a lot of hype on it, and some of the media outlets have not been really covering it that much, but I know you and I, we sort of got the bite on it and seen where this was going. And just sort of explain, Stephen, if you can. I know you might not have the rule book open, but, you know, we can walk through some of the stuff. But sort of let our listeners know exactly what NASCAR is implementing here with this sports gambling policy.
A lot of this comes back to the fact that this past year in Dover, for the first time, there was at-track betting on the racing events. As this continues to be popularized in both Vegas, online, other states are looking at going to gambling policies, both on sporting events as well as traditional casinos. Rise of things like FanDuel and other sites, fantasy sites where you can play fantasy games in exchange for money. A lot of this stuff is an area that NASCAR in the past has not addressed because there hasn't been this wide prevalence of options to bet on events or bet on drivers or championships or things like that. It's been very isolated in the past to maybe a sports book or two out in Vegas or Atlantic City, but as more states and localities look at gambling as a source of revenue, and especially on the online sphere, NASCAR is addressing this in the same way that you're right. You go back to Pete Rose who threw games and bet on them and made some substantial amount of money at the time. You know, NASCAR is looking at doing the same thing and implementing policies to keep teams and crews and drivers and people that are members and participants in the sport from using that knowledge. Ethically, there's an ethical barrier into this also that, you know, NASCAR is trying to address in the fact that, you know, it's not very ethical as a driver or a team or a crew member or somebody that's intricately involved in the sport to go out there and start using it for profit. And I think that includes the media and everybody that covers it as far as covering the sport, participates in the sport, TV partners, radio partners, everybody. I think this is from the top now. But NASCAR is just looking at policies and looking at ways to prevent or have some kind of reactionary course if we do have people going out there and using their knowledge for substantially gain an advantage over the sports books or gambling in general. And For NASCAR, it's good that they get ahead of this because I think we're just going to see a prevalence continue to spread. While Dover was a test, I think that we will eventually start seeing more tracks as localities allow it or more sports books start opening up to NASCAR and events and drivers and the various other ways that you could place a wager on the sport. So, in essence, this policy just comes down to the point that, again, anybody involved in the sport and has knowledge of the sport that could substantially change the course of a wager or gainful activities in any means by using that information to bet against or for, you know, they're trying to forbid this, and they're trying to keep this so that, again, so that members of the sport aren't using that knowledge as some kind of gain against any type of betting. NASCAR said, you know, that they're okay with some of these fantasy games that we've seen. NASCAR has one on there. They traditionally, it's not exchanged for money. Sometimes they may give away a pit pass or something like that, but you know, they're not out where every week you're betting for and against drivers. And they've said that, you know, those types of scenarios where you're playing for fun and there's no gain from it, you know, those are okay. They feel okay with those types of activities, just not an activity where it gives you a substantial advantage, knowledge wise, when they're exchanging money or gambling for or against an event or a driver or anything else that may be in the sphere. So it's, again, I think it's good. I think that they've got out on top of this as they continue to develop maybe their own way. I know NASCAR may be interested in their own type of gambling somehow or being involved in it somehow. They've let gambling companies in at Las Vegas and as premier sponsors of events out there. And, you know, we may see more prevalence of this across NASCAR, which we haven't seen in the past. And they've got to get these rules lined up before even they become involved into this before it becomes so prevalent that it's more of the norm and not the exception.
That's right. And to follow up on your statement there, in the NASCAR rulebook, sanctioned by rulebook 12.9.3 fantasy games, Stephen, the reason I know I got this up, that's where I was going next. 12.9.3 fantasy games, like you had mentioned. Section A, fantasy games or daily fantasy games are any similar online contests in which the real world performance NASCAR competitors determine the virtual performance and or point total of a fictional racing team assembled by game participants are defined as games of skill rather than gambling activity. That's where you're going. And then here's the section B. NASCAR members, this is what you mentioned. NASCAR members are permitted to engage in fantasy games relating to any event in which NASCAR is involved, including but not limited to the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, NASCAR Xfinity Series, and or NASCAR Gander Outdoor Truck Series, but shall not accept prizes with a value in excess of $250 in any such fantasy game. That's where you were going with that pit pass, right, brother?
Yeah, and, you know, most of the time, you know, if you've got a journalist or you've got a team member that's out there and inadvertently they may be awarded these prizes, in pretty much every case, they're going to decline that anyhow based on their status. But, you know, NASCAR is just putting those types of policies in place that, you know, kind of fortifies that out there that, you know, if they may have, you know, a $5,000 championship for somebody that spent, you know, 36 weeks playing a fantasy game and they're going to give you $5,000 or whatever it is, they want to make sure that, you know, this is going to people who are fans of the sport. These are people that are not going to be involved in the sport. They just want to make sure that overall, whatever you're doing is not for substantially gain, you know, monetary wise. And again, this is why they're allowing these types of fantasy games, because it's more of the norm that these are games that have no residual value or monetary value. These are games that are played for fun. These are games that are played against coworkers for no residual value. This isn't a team. This isn't a person going out and using information where they knew that a particular driver has a better chance of winning the championship because they knew something that somebody else doesn't know. So again, you know, these fantasy games are okay as long as they're, again, not accepting prizes above that value that you said. But in most times, you know, people and members of the sport wouldn't be accepting those prizes anyways because they would be traditional style prizes that have been handed out, such as like an infield pass or maybe 4 tickets to a race or, you know, something like that, some residual non-value of them. So, you know, they have no gainful value that they're getting out of this. And that's where NASCAR is trying to implement the policies or keep the policy so that you're not gaining anything out of this, nothing of residual nature. So, again, you know, fantasy games okay, gambling on the sport not okay.
Very well told there, brother. I'm going through my notes here. We're coming up here on top of the hour. Is any breaking news or anything we need to get out? I know we had mentioned about Ricky Craven and Bob Pockers joining Fox Sports. Anything else that jumps up we need to let everyone know about?
Well, you know, there's a lot of stuff coming up. Vegas is going to there's going to be testing out at Vegas. They just tested out Atlanta this week. This week at Vegas, they're going to test the full package that we're going to see at these intermediate tracks this year. These are things that spawn out of the All-Star race, and you know, we're going to have to get past Daytona and Atlanta to start seeing this package on whether it's going to work out, what kind of race we're going to get out of this new package. They've changed some of the things as far as the pan in the front, downforce on the cars, the aero structure of these cars. It's more of a drag downforce. It's more of a drag package of drafting. We'll get to see some of that. NASCAR is going to run a live broadcast of the testing out at Vegas. So everybody can go on NASCAR.com and they'll have the link up once they start practicing. So I think it'd be interesting to see. I want to see what this package does. Honestly, if it's anything like the All-Star race, I'm not super excited for it. Hopefully they've made enough changes into it that we don't see the more of the follow the leader style with very hard passing. I want to see good quality racing, but I'm just not super excited about what I saw at the All-Star race. Unfortunately, I think hopefully they've made enough changes that we don't see that.
That's right. You mentioned I got the note also from Neil Reed there, our good friend, fellow races director at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. I just got it too. And there's a host of Monster Energy Cup Series drivers going to be there, and they're also bringing some NASCAR Xfinity Series drivers too. Zane Smith, Junior Motorsport. We've got two Junior Motorsports. Junior Motorsports car is going to be there. Zane Smith and Noah Gregson. And then you've got Riley Hurts for Joe Gibbs Racing. And Chase Briscoe with Stuart Haas Racing, they're going to be there for the Xfinity deal. And there's just to highlight some of the other ones, Stephen, Ryan Newman's going to be there. Ryan's moved over to Ralph Fenway Racing. He left RCR. Looking down the schedule here, we got Ryan Preece. You and I, we haven't talked about Ryan Preece. He signed on with JTG Doherty Racing this year. And Cody Ware, my good buddy Cody Ware, is going to be out there. And Ross Chastain, looks like Ross Chastain, David Reagan, Drew Herring, a name that we don't, Toyota Racing Development, a name that we don't really talk that much about. So that's going to be an interesting test, Stephen. Just like you said, they're going to bring the full package there at that track to see how everything's going to work. But I think it's going to be real interesting too. You know, like you said, you can stream it live on, did you say NASCAR.com, Stephen?
Yeah, NASCAR.com. We'll have a live feed of it.
And we're up here on the top of the hour. And, Stephen, if I think, you know, we could talk for probably 6 or 8 more hours to catch up from where we left off last year. But again, I want to thank you very much for coming aboard like you did 3 years ago. And we've really made a lot of progress. I really appreciate it. NASCAR sort of helped us along. I thank everything NASCAR has done. Thank everything that you have done. I want to thank Suzanne for sticking in here, answering the phones like she does every Tuesday evening. And I want to thank Brett Holmes there with Brett Holmes Racing for coming on. He's racing, like he mentioned, he's racing the full schedule, the ARCA Racing Series. And he had a lot of good points there. You and I got a lot of good answers out of him. But, Stephen, let's go ahead and jump out of here. And I don't have a guest for next Tuesday as of right now, but I got people that wants to come on. If you got anybody you want to bring on, you let me know. But again, Stephen, thank you very much. Tell AM and the boys we said hello and let everybody know. We can follow you on social media website, brother.
And follow us at Speedway Digest on Twitter, Facebook.com/Speedway Digest, and SpeedwayDigest.com.
Amen, brother. Ready to go racing. We're going to say good night from the Pit Stop Radio LLC, the man cave here at just south of Talladega Super Speedway, about 8 miles south where the crow flies, and Stephen Wilson right outside of Richmond Raceway. We're going to say good night until next Tuesday evening, and thanks again to everyone. Talk to you next Tuesday. See you, Steve.
One more night, one more down, one more round. First one in, last one out, giving this town lots to talk about. But they don't know, but they don't know. People say I got a drinking problem, that ain't no reason to stop. I'm drinking.